your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Well, and welcome to A Biblical Response. We've had a two-week break while the radio station raised some money, and God blessed us there. We got much closer to our goal than we have in a long time. So,
amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to introduce our topic today, but first we have some prayer that we want to engage in. Two people we need to pray for, and then Stephanie is going to lift up the Missouri State Legislature and some issues that are facing them. We're praying first our Keith Masters, who is a member of this team, is homesick with a cold and coughing and all that.
So. We miss you, Keith.
Yes, Keith.
Hi, Keith. We do miss you. Get well soon.
We do get well. I know he's just feeling better is good. I've had that before. We've all been sick with that. And so we're going to pray for Keith, and then Ed Skiba, who is a co-host for us here on the Monday program, the Frontline, has had several issues, and he went home after a period of rehab, and he's back in the hospital, hopefully with something major, but it's certainly concerning. So we're going to be praying for him as well. So let's just get started, and I'll open up prayer time for Keith. Father, we just lift our brother Keith up to you and his wife. And his son,
yes,
that Keith right now, his wife and himself are laboring with the onslaught of rhinovirus. And Lord, we just pray for your grace to move in their lives and their bodies,
yes.
Father, to take away all of those tiny little viruses, Lord, that make our bodies work in such disharmonious ways. Disharmonious with your plan for us. Totally restore him and his wife.
Yes.
Totally drive out any illness, any infirmity, and restore them to full strength and the powerful health. In the name of Jesus, we pray for them. And Father, we lift our brother Ed up to you. Father, we perceive, Lord, that he has much left to do to serve you. He has much life ahead of him, and we're not to see this as being something that's going to bring that to a close or to shorten it. We're rather seeing this as yet another opportunity, Father, for Ed to see your healing hand,
yes,
for
Father.
Him and his and those that love him and his doctors and the nurses to see the power of your healing grace working in his life today. And we lay claim to that grace. We come before you knowing, not having to convince you to heal him, but to join you and others, Father, as you move powerfully in his life to restore him to fullness and strength. And that, too, we pray in Jesus' name. And Stephanie, if you'd lift up the Missouri Legislature.
Father, we know that your scriptures tells us that where two or more are gathered in your name, that you are there in the midst of them. And Father, we know that we've got many listeners across this station that know how to pray and come before you. So I'd ask them right now if they would to join with me and us here in the studio praying for the state of Missouri. They're in, you know the situation they're in, but Father, I know that when we defeated the Amendment 4 bill down here, they did not defeat theirs in Missouri. And so, Lord, we know that they're fighting it right now as we speak in the house up there. And so, Father, we just pray your spirit come in and fall into that building the capital of Missouri, and that those mm-hmm. legislators would see truth. And
yes,
that
Lord
it
Jesus.
Says in the scriptures, Lord, in Romans, it says there is no authority except from God, and we know that you are the authority, and those that exist have been instituted mm-hmm. by you.
Yes.
And so, Lord, you are the authority, and so we thank you for the authority that you give to us as humans to lead others in the righteousness of God. And Father, Jesus. I pray that right now over the whole I'm not sure if it's, I know it's in the House, but I'm not sure that the Senate might not be taking on something as well. And I know that the personhood bill is going to be looked at today as well. And so, Father, I pray that you would show favor, Father, yes. to your believers. Mm. Let them be strong in you as they decide how they're going to vote today, either to vote it up or vote it down. Father, I pray right now for that state. I ask for our state as well, Lord. You know what's going on in our capital and all the states across the nation. God, we have brought this fight back to the states, not just for life, but a lot of the different things have been thrown back to the state.
Whoops.
And so, Father, I ask right now that you would just bring your peace across this nation and raise up those that are willing to fight this fight with righteousness. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And amen. I did something I shouldn't have done.
That's okay, David.
We are not blaming you. God did not
God
stop.
That's right.
We've been talking about our new software.
Yeah.
And how wonderful
Thank
it
God
is.
Thank God for that.
But yes. we're still learning the finer points of it.
That's
and
okay.
There's
a learning curve,
I looked
David.
Up there and things didn't seem to be happening.
That's okay.
So you know what? We're okay because it's going to play through the first break content.
Okay.
And so we're only going to have one break today.
All
which is
right.
okay. And then
Here
we'll
we
do
go.
That about 11:30. And then the rest of it should be preserved.
It's all good.
But anyway, it's a learning curve. And usually my learning curves are hairpin curves. So
that's all right.
There you go.
David. We're with you, David.
Thank
we're
you,
not leaving
you.
We will not walk out of this room. We'll let you. We'll stay right here with you.
You know, it's okay. It's really all right.
It is. It's okay.
But and that may be okay because we have more time to spend. And if those of you listening, and you know, if you're listening for a while, you know the focus of this program is to take a look at one, usually or maybe two issues that are in the news that are hot button issues that we could look at through the biblical lens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today, and this has been in the news, and many avenues of the news is the presidential message on Holy Week that Donald Trump put out. It was put out on April 13th. So that was Sunday, appropriate time for many people. Holy Week starts with Palm Sunday, and that was last Sunday. And it'll move through this peak in time, and then Easter or Resurrection Sunday, as some people like to call it, will be this Sunday. So he made a statement, and this is, you know, a wonderful, we're going to be talking about it, and Ann is going to, I'm going to cast actually this over to Ann to kick us off. In a little depth here.
I took the ball that you were passing over to me.
Oh, thank you. That's why.
Good morning, everybody.
Good catch.
So what we figured we'd do before we talk about this presidential message that David had said was unveiled Sunday, which is powerful, to say the least, we want to read the actual presidential message. And you could actually find this, listeners, on the official White House website. So this isn't a message that was actually put out and confirmed by the White House.
Yeah.
And this is a message that was released on Palm Sunday. So let me read this, and then we will dissect it. So this is released on April 13th by the White House Sunday. Here's the message. This Holy Week, Melania and I join in prayer with Christians celebrating the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, who conquered death, freed us from sin, and unlocked the gates of heaven for all of humanity. Beginning with Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and culminating in the Paschal Triduum, which begins on Holy Thursday with the Mass of the Lord's Supper, followed by Good Friday, and reaching its pinnacle in the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday night. This week is a time of reflection for Christians to memorialize Jesus' crucifixion and to prepare their hearts, minds, and souls for his miraculous resurrection from the dead. During this sacred week, we acknowledge that the glory of Easter Sunday cannot come without the sacrifice Jesus Christ made on the cross. In his final hours on earth, Christ willingly endured excruciating pain, torture, and execution on the cross out of a deep and abiding love for all his creation. Through his suffering, we have redemption. Through his death, we are forgiven of our sins. Through his resurrection, we have hope of eternal life. On Easter morning, the stone is rolled away, the tomb is empty, and light prevails over darkness, signaling that death does not have the final word. This Holy Week, my administration renews its promise to defend the Christian faith in our schools, military, workplaces, hospitals, and halls of government. We will never waver in safeguarding the right to religious liberty, upholding the dignity of life, and protecting God in our public square. And we just have one more full paragraph in a sentence. As we focus on Christ's redeeming sacrifice, we look to his love, humility, and obedience, even in life's most difficult and uncertain moments. This week, we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our beloved nation. We pray that America will remain a beacon of faith, hope, and freedom for the entire world. And we pray to achieve a future that reflects the truth, beauty, and goodness of Christ's eternal kingdom in heaven. May God bless you and your family during this special time of year, and may he continue to bless the United States of America.
Wow. Wow.
Go ahead, Stephanie. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when I read this, we didn't really read it yesterday when we were talking about it. We just said, this is what we're going to talk about today. And I went and pulled it up and read it, and I honestly cried.
Yeah.
Just even from the words. And then, you know, to place it into the perspective that it came from the president of our nation, it just seems almost unreal that that could actually happen right now, just because of how it's been. Even Republicans over the last, they've never put anything out quite
this powerful.
That's what I was just going to say, with this much power behind it.
Yeah.
And speaking the truth of what Christians talk about this, and our, this is our belief. I mean, Christmas is one thing. If he never came, this would not have happened. But if this didn't happen, we wouldn't have eternal life.
Yes.
And so this is the crux of the Christian belief.
It is. And I think it's critical to see. For instance, we were talking yesterday in our little preparatory meeting about how the distinct contrast between the Biden administration and how they dealt with, I think it was the last Easter of his term, where they had they celebrated transgenderism at the White House, and they had the, of course, Easter egg thing, and there was some kind of a government issue Easter bunny wandering around making sure Biden didn't actually talk to anybody. But that was the focal point of that administration in terms of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, that holy day that all Christians, all believing Christians celebrate.
It's a stark difference.
Our Lord saves.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the Biden administration even put pride flags in front of the White House. And what a mocking God.
Abomination.
You cannot get away with that. No. And now we see the change in administration, and we see this powerful statement that talks about Jesus as Lord and Savior, who suffered, died, and was crucified, and rose again.
Yes.
I also want to say on Truth Social, I don't know if anybody who listens to this program also follows President Trump on Truth Social, but he made this Easter statement on his social media. We need God. We want God. And with his help, we will make our nation stronger, safer, greater, more prosperous, and more united than ever before. Thank you and happy Easter. This is a president who brings God into his administration and acknowledges it can only rule. He can only rule with God's help.
Yeah. I wish I wish Keith was here. This is
Keith. Yes. I know you're coughing, but if you have a bout between your coughs, maybe call in.
Yeah, because this is something that he loves to talk about.
He does.
I just love that about him because he's so passionate mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah,
I am too. I'm cautious, and I'll just be honest. I'm cautious because I know that people change. I've changed. I mean, from the time I was in my teens to now, obviously, there's mm-hmm. lots and lots of differences. And I sometimes think we don't leave room for being able to change. Yeah. We see something, and it's... I was just talking to a woman that's my neighbor that's 95 years old mm-hmm. yesterday, and she said something to me that made me kind of chuckle. She's not... a big Trump fan, which is fine, but she said to me, she said, I thought people that went into the political realm was supposed to be squeaky clean. And I just had to laugh and giggle to myself. I thought, I don't think that's ever happened. Wow. I mean, you know, so I know we hope and want moral people in there. And so mm-hmm. that's been a hard thing with Trump because that's not been his lifestyle, mm-hmm. you know, and he wasn't out there trying to show mm-hmm. you know anything that he was doing wrong or anything, but mm-hmm. but people have
he has a past.
Obviously brought up his past,
yeah,
and so
but in the Bible, did God choose people who had this like flawless past?
Well, if this look at my
yes,
past
my past
no, we, never.
It's because of his grace that the Lord shows
it's because
Trump.
Of this resurrection
amen
that we can be given eternal life even mm-hmm. with that past that we have. So
when we were, I was thinking, asking the Lord to show me, because there's so many biblical references that we could go to,
yes.
that lens Full. Through which, and the one thing that, and I have some, actually I'm going to read in a moment from a portion from Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 4.
Okay.
But I want to say, you know, from this radio station, over and over again, what we have said about America, the truth of it is, and anybody who studies our history and looks at it through the eyes of the founding fathers would see immediately that God was in the founding of America.
Absolutely.
Even from the beginning when the Puritans arrived at Cape Henry and the Robert Hunt, the chaplain, buried the cross in the sands of the beach at Cape Henry
mm-hmm.
and made a prayer that dedicated this land to God and made a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And from Scripture, we understand that God forms nations. God is in the creation of nations.
Yes.
And God intends to be the government
and he disciples
of those nations. Yes,
yep,
he does. He forms nations.
Yep.
And, you know, that explains Israel. It also explains America.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't want to exclude any other extant nation
mm-hmm.
that might have God in their heart or it started with God in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
But the facts, literally the truth, as reported by our founding fathers and by others throughout time who have recognized that God is in mm-hmm. the creation and sustaining of America.
Yes.
And so because of our sin and apostasy in these last several decades and mm-hmm. the turning away from God,
yeah.
we've had a lot of struggles as a nation, but many of us have been praying. The three of us here certainly have on our prayer list over time, mm-hmm. praying for the restoration of America.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for our leaders to begin to see the importance of honoring God and honoring God in so many ways, but not just admitting that he is God, but bringing him into our government.
Yes.
And so when we begin to understand what a nation must do when God has formed and shaped them and brought them into being, we can go back to the scriptures. And that's why I went to Deuteronomy. So I'm going to read this. Mm-hmm. I just want people to think about it. Where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Mm.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today," this is Moses, of course, God speaking through him,
mm-hmm.
"but these same words apply to us also. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise, basically your whole life. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and by extension, mm-hmm. when God brought us into this land,
we're grafted in, yeah.
We're grafted in,
mm-hmm.
To give you with great and good cities that you did not build, with houses full of good things you did not fill, and cisterns you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.
Mm.
It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the fields who are around you, for the Lord your God is in your midst. He is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. And then the last verse, verse 16, well, and 17, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you.
Amen.
Now that applies to the nation of Israel. God founded them. We believe God founded America. That applies to us too. That attitude,
yeah.
That posture.
Well, I want to read a scripture out of 1 Peter that, as you were, I've written this down earlier,
mm-hmm.
and as you're reading, I'm thinking, this is New Testament, this is good. It says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Mm-hmm. And that's from
beautiful.
The ESV version.
Beautiful.
And I'm like, that is exact. I mean, it's no different now than it was in the Old Testament. I mean, we are brought here to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And they were looking forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. But it is the pinnacle of everything that we celebrate right here and now. And for the president to be able to bring that into words, the words what he said, through his death, we are forgiven of our sins. I mean, he didn't say the Christians are forgiven of this. He said, we are. And I thought...
Yeah, so he's putting himself in there.
He is putting himself inside
of
this.
Stephanie.
I mean, this has been something that I've struggled with a little bit, to be honest with you, because I've researched this. I've listened intently. I've gone to different things that he's been talking.
Oh, you struggled with him identifying as Christian? Is that what you mean?
I have not doubted it because I can't judge his heart. And that's what I always claim the scripture with that, because I'm like, I cannot judge a person's heart.
Yeah, you can't see his heart. But
no.
His actions
have been... awesome. I mean, I voted for him at both times. So it's not like I haven't been for him in this. But I also reserve the right to say, I'm not God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cannot judge a man's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Our heart is sinful. Mm-hmm. We don't even know ourselves how sinful
the wickedness in our heart.
In our own heart.
Yep.
So for me to say that about someone... I can't even see the fruits of what they're doing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I take that very seriously.
Yeah.
And so what he's doing is very good. And I believe that he is being used by God. But for me to say now, to say that he is going to heaven and he's a godly man, I had never heard him literally say that Jesus Christ was his personal savior.
Yeah.
But in this presidential message on Holy Week 2025.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing him actually proclaim those things. So
that's why it's a big turning point to read this.
It is for me.
I kind of started.
I don't know about everybody else.
When I also saw this on WhatsApp, it was put on by I think David or Keith.
Yeah.
I read this and I'm like, this is not some watered down message.
No.
This is full of theology. And he's identifying with it.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't typical. It wasn't obligatory. This was an official government statement.
Right.
And then as I started to prepare last night, there are lots of things the president's been doing in this administration that has been starkly different from his past administration. He has been bringing God in more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
The first cabinet meeting.
Yeah.
The first cabinet meeting, you know, he brought in that one secretary who gave an amazing prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a caller,
and so, I think I know who it is. Hey, caller, you're on the air, bro.
Yeah, hi, this is Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Keith, hi, welcome, Keith. We miss you.
I'm listening to the program. Are you guys on break?
Nope.
No.
No, you're on live. You're on live, Keith, so whatever you want to tell the world, go ahead.
You might turn down your radio a little
bit. Yeah, I think your background noise is just a little amplified, if you could turn that down.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
My bad. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Bring it, Keith.
Third verse. It tells us, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed." Because, and this is in italics, it just says, "The true Spirit of God would never do such a thing. So those who do such are not of God." But verse B, it says, "And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord," and we know that Jesus is Lord, "but by the Holy Spirit."
Yes, that's right. Yes.
In the beginning of that, of his presentation or his speech, he calls Jesus Christ Lord and Savior.
Yes, he does.
And it tells us right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, "No man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit."
Mm. Great point, Keith. Great Amen. Point.
And it's he and Melania are joining in prayer with Christians celebrating the crucifixion. So he places himself inside of mm-hmm. the, you know, the Christian belief in that right. in that moment.
Right. And it's just such a it's just such a separation of people saying that they're Christians that don't like President Trump and they don't believe that he's saved, but as it tells us right there in the Word, that nobody calls Jesus Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's powerful,
Amen.
Keith.
Yes.
So glad you called to say that. That's powerful.
Yeah.
The other thing, yeah, I would just like to add, because I got a runny nose and I'm really...
Well, keep it at home, please. Keep it at home.
Yeah. The other thing that I would like to add is that in 1 John chapter 2, it tells us, "He who loves his brother abides in the light. He who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness." We're talking about a brother or a sister in Christ, and how people have to start to understand and start to see that President Trump is a brother in Christ. He's a child of God, and that he is, you know, he is anointed by the Lord as he's in his second presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that. I truly believe that.
Oh, well, yeah, we agree with you, Keith. We agree with you.
Right, right. And to just understand and start to see that this is who he is. Because the way that the media portrayed him is the hate.
You're breaking up, Keith.
Okay.
Can you repeat that? The way the media treated him?
What's that?
You said the media, the way he was treated, and then it went off. So what? Can you repeat that?
The way that the media exposes him is just everything from his past. And as we all know, my past, I was, you know, when I was delivered from my addictions and when I was delivered, I'm a new creature in Christ. Mm-hmm. President Trump is a new creature in Christ. We all are new creatures in Christ when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, I will be.
2 Corinthians, right?
I will be glad to watch this administration be led by someone who is confessing Christ.
Yeah.
As high and as loudly and boldly as this is.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had that for a long time.
Yeah.
We haven't.
Right.
We haven't.
So.
Right.
Yep.
And compared to what was going on last year, it's the exact time.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that little bit.
Right.
So, yeah.
What I think is important that for people to know is that when a nation's leader makes a faith statement like this,
mm-hmm.
see, that's a sign to us. When the leadership is saying to the people, this is a call to faith, this is the gospel mm-hmm. being shared, this is mm-hmm. a nation
openly.
under God, right? Yeah. A nation under God. Mm-hmm. And the leader is pointing the people back to that God.
Yes.
That's big.
You know, what's also big, just to piggyback, is this is heard around the world. President Trump is the most powerful man in government as a head of state. Okay. So the Middle East is hearing this. Israel's hearing this. The whole world is listening.
You know, and
this
in the beginning of his first administration, he could not understand why the pastors weren't speaking truth from the pulpit. And, mm-hmm. and he was like,
and he would call them out.
He did call them out.
Which I think is appropriate.
And it was. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. The thing is that you mentioned a really good point, David, is leaders, when they take a stand,
mm-hmm.
I have watched that with the whole pro-life thing with him being in office.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to take a stand when you, and the pastors, even with Amendment 4, they mm-hmm. were willing to come up on board and start to talk about it, you know, more. But from the pulpit and from the church. But we have to be careful not to put the leader as our leader.
Yes. So this program is not meant to exalt President Trump.
No, it isn't.
To point out his faithfulness.
But on the flip side of it, that's right. But on the flip side of it as well, mm-hmm. we need to be leaders.
Mm.
It makes us stronger and more bold in mm-hmm. our faith. When our leaders are bold in their faith, we will be more bold. So as we are more bold, our mm-hmm. children will be more bold.
Yes.
And the generations will become more bold.
Yes.
So this is a turning. I mean, I truly believe this is a turning of our nation in this Holy Week, as he's put it on here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good next step.
Hey, Keith, we're going to take a break. Can you want to stay with us?
What's that?
You want to stay with us and all right, well, no, we will. I'm sure that you'll cover your phone, but at any rate, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right we'll be right back.
Jesus, 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 Jesus,
welcome back to A Biblical Response, and it was great to have Keith on the phone. Keith, go back to bed. Get some rest, brother, and get well. And we were, again, we were making, really investing this broadcast in exploring the President Trump's Holy Week message that went out on April 13th, and in the body of which he clearly proclaims his Christian commitment,
mm-hmm.
And his love of the Lord and his belief in the scriptures and the gospel message, and that's all very encouraging. And so I was going to throw this back on the break, as Stephanie, you brought something up. You're going to try to make a correlation between this and something else.
Yeah, I just think the timing of this is so providential. Obviously, time and space. God created time and space so we could see him. And so that is a lot of what I base my walk with. If I see something that God is doing, you know, not just the scriptures, but in music or in, but we know that the beginning of the nation, there was a certain Indian named mm-hmm. Squanto,
okay,
that was captured and enslaved as a young man by the English. And he was taught how to speak English. He was the only English-speaking Indian in that, you know, that there was. And so the pilgrims landed right there where he was. I mean, there was, and I think they were even blown off course, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But the fact that God, the sovereignty of God, bringing something like that to bring our nation to light. And I know it's just a small little story for now as we go back and look.
Uh-huh.
But it brings to light the fact that God is sovereign over everything that happens. And so when I look at President Trump, I went back and listened to some of his recordings from when he was young. And this was on Oprah Winfrey. It was the same exact thing that he's doing. He's actually bringing it to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
He was speaking about all of these trade tariffs and all of these things back when he was a young man.
Because he saw the problems back then.
He saw them, yes. He did. And that's why, you know, even with Squanto, you think, oh, well, that's just a great story to tell of our nation's beginning. But mm-hmm. this nation has the Spirit of God on it, and it was built. I mean, we speak about that all the time on this radio station, but mm-hmm. right now, we are seeing the hand of God. You don't always see the hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's always moving. You know he's always doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a sovereign plan, and Trump is part of that sovereign plan for America right now at this moment,
mm-hmm.
at this time. I mean, it's brilliant.
We came out of a time of darkness when we were in the last administration.
Yeah.
I mean, we said this earlier in the program, but last year, President Biden labeled, and it actually happened to fall on Easter Day, the Transgender Day of Visibility. It happened to fall on Easter
happened?
Day. Yes. So it was started in 2009, and I guess it's held annually on March 31st. So last year Easter happened to fall on March 31st, and that's why they called it.
So it really happened that day.
But back in 2008, when President Barack Obama was president, did you know he said this? He went to Turkey on a trip, an official presidential trip, and he told the world of the United States, "We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation, or Jewish nation, or Muslim nation." Mm. So to come so far where the president has acknowledged.
What did he consider it? I'm sorry.
Agnostic,
or was there
maybe
anything?
No God at all, which is bad. But I'm just saying the stark difference between President Obama, President Biden, and now what our president has said. That's why this is huge. This is huge.
Well, those statements ignored the roots. The God roots in the founding of our nation.
That we talk about all the time.
And we have a lot of people, and some people listening today, right now, may be thinking, I can't believe that mm-hmm. God started this nation. And I understand that. Listen, I'm not mocking you.
No.
But I am telling you that you can go to the several documents. They haven't been taught in civics classes maybe in the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
But the documents that were written by the founding fathers in the 18th century, as this nation was being born, as it was coming to fruition as a nation, as a God-led nation through his favor in the Revolutionary War, and the stance we took against Britain, and the birth of this nation following that, there's ample testimony from those people that mm-hmm. were boots on the ground mm-hmm. when this nation was born, to at least hear what they were receiving from the Lord and how they felt led by the Lord. And
yeah.
God's guidance that woven into the fabric of the founding of this land.
This nation would not have been founded if it wasn't God's hand upon
exactly.
a group of men versus a whole army of Great Britain. I want to bring up a website, and we've brought this up on this program before, but it's called wallbuilders.com.
Mm, that's a good one.
And basically, this has all the resources, and what Tim Barton and his father, his father's name is escaping me right now, but they have collected actual items from back then, and these items are the primary evidence, letters, different things that they preserve that actually have God in them. So this is primary evidence. You can't get more evident than that. You know what I right. mean? With the primary things, the artifacts and whatnot. They collect things from all over. And if anybody wants to, it's Tim Barton. Tim Barton and his son, they preach all over the world. And I think that going to wallbuilders.com, you could listen to some of their teachings as well. And you decide for yourself, because we're not saying this. We want you to research this, right, Dave and
exactly.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
We
yes.
want you to pray absolutely. About this and research this yourselves and go to wallbuilders.com.
Have you ever been?
Yeah, and
have you ever listened to him? Have you ever been to
yes,
one of his things? Oh my
yes,
gosh!
Not live,
oh,
not live. But
it is so.
Oh, actually, no. When Charlie Kirk was in West Palm Beach in July.
Yep.
They
he
were
was
two
there.
Of the speakers.
Yeah.
And I got to hear them live.
Yeah.
We need to invite calls, and yeah. we still have about 18 minutes before mm-hmm. the end of the hour. 772-221-1100 is the number to call. 772-221-1100. If you have a comment or a question, and I'm just going to ask you to be succinct.
And people may disagree with us, but we want to hear from you.
You can disagree with us. That's
yeah,
perfectly
we want
fine.
To hear from you as well. If you don't agree, let's have a conversation. Well, not too
yes.
long because we're on the air.
Well, so, well yes. I mean, we're going to have to be, again, succinct,
yeah, succinct
is a great
as
word.
David said, the producer.
But do call 772-221-1100. And yes, and the other, the thing, you know, yeah, we would... We are very strong in our beliefs. Okay, that's obvious. But when we speak, we would love for listeners to say, I'm not sure about that. Let me look into that.
Yeah, that's
you
why
know,
we're
we
here.
We have been burdened over time
mm-hmm.
by a whole lot of people in this nation
mm-hmm.
that are willing to believe
yeah.
told without looking into it.
Yeah.
You know? And
that's a travesty that you don't research, because you take what's told to you and then you believe it. And that's what I
right.
see a lot in the younger generation, but older people such as us. We
I was going to say,
well.
I'm guilty.
Yeah. yeah.
I am guilty.
But it's a lot of the talking points that people see and hear, and then they come to believe it without really researching.
It is. And
so
I will say I'm guilty, except that the foundation that I stand on gives me, you know,
a heads up,
a heads
yeah.
up to know. Does that sound right? No, that doesn't sound right. But yeah, we do need to do our own research and make sure that it's sound.
And we're happy to share our faith and what we know in our hearts to be true.
Yeah.
But if you can't receive that, but look into it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the resources that you can research. There's so much out there.
And pray
anyway,
about it, too.
Pray about it.
When it came
yeah.
to 2016, when Trump was first running for office, and he was such a, like, people are like, there's no way he's going to win. There's no way Hillary's for sure has the votes. But then I asked the Lord, can I get your mind on this?
yeah.
And it didn't matter how it looked, because look
yeah.
what the Lord did.
No. Yeah.
And I did vote for him back in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And
I voted for him because he was a businessman.
Yeah, I know.
That was just
okay.
my, I didn't have any spiritual leading or, mm. you know, whatever. It was more, I know this country needs, now, you know what? I say that. I'm sure God had his hand on me, just leading me in that particular
mm-hmm.
thing, but anyway.
Yeah.
Well, an interesting, Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, has written several books, but...
And he'll be in Treasure Coast on Thursday, right?
That's right.
May 1st, I'm sorry.
May 1st,
not...
I think, yeah, in talking, he does some contrasting in between Trump's first term, and he goes back biblically.
Yeah.
I think the book called The Oracle, and I think he also, in the Josiah Manifesto, he also brought that in as a linkage to the whole point he was trying to make in those two books. And it's a wonderful, it's a very incredibly detailed contrast and comparison between the reign of Ahab and his wife Jezebel and Yehu, who was the hero of Israel that, you know, kind of got rid of Jezebel, but and was a leader, a king-type leader for a while, and the whole Clinton-Trump business. So there's some biblical stuff there.
Yeah.
You can look into that. 772-221-1100 is the number to call if you'd like to come on air and make a comment.
Let's examine this from Scripture. Because when we were talking on our call yesterday, what scripture can we bring into the program? And one that came to mind when we were talking is Matthew 10:32-33. And this is what that says. Therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny my Father in heaven. So President Trump has definitely acknowledged the Father in front of the whole free world. Mm-hmm. And look what the Father's going to do. He's going to acknowledge him. That's a wonderful spiritual perspective.
Amen. And one of the last things that he says here is he says, we will never waver in safeguarding the right to religious liberty, upholding the dignity of life, and protecting God in our public square. And that is encouraging. That's encouraging to me because we're going to have to stand. There's a time when you can't be silent anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm already starting to feel that with work I'm doing with the pro-life stuff. It's coming. And, it's actually here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that you have to take a stand now.
You have to.
Yeah.
So safeguarding the right to religious liberty. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, so before that statement, Stephanie, he says that his administration wants to renew its promise to defend the Christian faith in our schools, military, workplaces, hospitals, and halls of government. For me, this has given me more of an assurance that we can stand up more than ever, because in the past administration, if we stood up, then we were persecuted or whatnot. All you know my story. I stood up and didn't take the COVID shot because I felt the Lord told me. In today's administration, you have people in the military who did not take the shot in Biden's administration, and President Trump is now in the process of bringing them all back in. He's defending the Christian faith in the military.
Did he make that decision? I haven't heard.
Yeah, he's onboarding them just as of last week.
Okay, I was wondering.
Yeah.
Because I just heard him talk about it a couple weeks ago, and I hadn't heard the final.
So that's encouraging that he's defending our Christian freedom, and then also upholding the dignity of life. This is huge to you, Stephanie. All the work you do with post-abortive women and the abortion issue.
It is huge.
I know, and your ministry has been exploding, you know?
It is starting to, and one of these days we'll talk more deeply about that.
Yeah.
But it is definitely, I'm being called up to Missouri in a couple of weeks to give a speech to the legislators up there and the different pastors, and even our state here has given me a seat at the table. So the governor's office, so faith team.
So Christians, we need to stand up for what is the passion the Lord's given you.
Yes.
Would you say that, Stephanie?
Absolutely.
And David?
And you know what? If in obedience, if we will do that, God makes a way. I mean, it is David? Just mind-blowing to me how obedience is our key factor of belief. I mean, it's that you can sit there and say, oh, I believe,
but you don't act.
There's no obedience or no speaking about what God has freed you from, there's no true freedom. And so we want to know where freedom comes. It comes from inside what God has given to us to speak out about.
Amen.
So he's freed you from what?
Yeah.
You know, we talk about freedom in this country all the time.
Yeah.
But it's not free to do the wrong things. It's like the scripture that I read.
Yep.
As do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Mm. Live as God's slaves. And so the freedom isn't to go out and do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm saying this again on this radio show, you know? It's like, look at the scriptures and see what he asks us to do. It's to carry the seed of the living God inside of us, mm-hmm. and to be able to go out and speak that into the streets. I mean, what bigger privilege is there? There mm-hmm. isn't one.
Because mm-hmm. the Lord desires to co-labor with us.
He does.
So we are on this earth for a reason, yeah. right? We're not just supposed to, you know, be stuck in our homes. I'm not saying that in a mean way, but no. we're choosing not to co-labor with Christ, because the Lord has given each one of us passions. You
and
know
you
how
don't
passionate.
Have to be on a stage to do no. it. I'm saying, no. I was next door with my 95-year-old neighbor yesterday, so mm-hmm. you just being Christ in that moment, being like Christ in those moments, mm-hmm. and you know, not arguing, not no. fighting, but having conversations.
If biblical truth, though. If people don't know the biblical truth, you hit them with the truth, and you cannot come back with anything, because it's the truth, right?
Right. No.
So
yeah,
yeah. Sorry,
they may try.
Interrupt. They may try, but yeah.
And that's when we get a little bit of angst in us and say, you know, well, I can't do this, but you can. Mm-hmm. Even if you walk away and feel like you haven't made a difference, mm-hmm. believe me, I've had many things happen over the last couple of weeks that's like, oh, 18 months ago I said something and now it's the fruition of it. Getting to see the fruition of what I said 18 months ago, mm-hmm. having no idea that God was moving in someone's heart in that moment and being able to see the fruition. We don't always get to see the fruition of something. Mm-hmm. You know, it says in the scriptures that we may not know until we know in heaven, you know, what God has done through us.
And also, here's a scripture that just came to mind when you yeah. said that you planted a seed, but then you didn't see the growth of it. That's mm-hmm. in 1 Corinthians mm-hmm. 3. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow.
I love mm-hmm. it.
So even when you speak and you don't feel like you're making a difference, but the Lord is using that.
That's right.
And he will grow. Oh. Maybe another person comes right after you, and because of the seeds you've planted, that person accepted Christ.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So on this show, we're saying take a stand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now is the time.
And just love Jesus, yes. and yeah. he will give you the boldness to do it.
Yeah.
We have only a few minutes. It's 11:52.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, at 11:59, we're going to, you know, play the end of the program and be gone for the day. But I was trying, I was asking the Lord to kind of give me a synthesis that I could sort of throw out as we come to the end of the program in light of the presidential message.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about that. And the thing that came to me is, that the president made such a complete faith statement in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gospel.
Yes.
Okay? It's the essential gospel.
Yes.
What we say about Jesus. And the Lord reminded me that up until this election, up until this new administration has taken over, that there was a lot of darkness in our nation that was sustained mm-hmm. by top-level leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may not have felt that, but the oppressive darkness from the attitudes
yeah.
that were being presented at that level of government
yep.
and the repression, literally in the news, government repressing free speech, and you saw this in so many ways that you know, I'm not going to take the time to enumerate them, but the point is they're there.
Yeah.
And then when in this message, and because it's Holy Week and we're looking at Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, as some people call it,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine either way for me, okay, I know what it means, is that he makes it a point to talk about the day of the resurrection and the exiting of the tomb.
Mm.
I'm trying to find the exact wording here.
That's what made me cry.
The end of the third paragraph, David.
I'm sorry, what?
The end of the third paragraph. Are you saying on Easter morning, the
on
stone
Easter
is
morning,
yeah.
the stone mm-hmm. is rolled away, the tomb is empty, and light prevails over darkness. signaling that death does not have the final word.
Praise God.
And
whew,
that thank you, Jesus. What the president acknowledges and what mm-hmm. we all know, and this is in the largest sense of the work of God,
yes,
is that in the coming of Jesus Christ and in his whole life and ministry, it was all about light, it was all about love, it was all about life,
yes,
and truth, and it was about deliverance. Mm-hmm. It was all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And into a dark world, Jesus was born, and his ministry mm-hmm. Came alive for the 3 years he walked on earth,
mm-hmm.
shedding the light of God against the darkness that evil men
mm-hmm.
had been bringing about, had been opening up to, had been casting out into the lives of the nation. And so again now today, by his proclamation, what I am hearing in the Spirit
mm-hmm.
is that from the top,
yeah,
that the stone has been rolled away from the tomb that we had become.
Wow.
There was darkness and there was death.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil, that's his calling card.
Mm-hmm.
But the president and others with him,
mm-hmm.
and we ourselves joining in this proclamation.
Yes, we do.
That the stone has been rolled away. And there's new life, and we are all participating in it.
Mm-hmm.
And this proclamation invites people to embrace that.
I want to clap.
Yeah.
And
praise
you
God.
Know what? I'm yeah. just reminded of all the years and all the prayers the three of us have.
Oh, yeah.
We waited for years to see this come to fruition.
Amen.
We've been on our knees. The Big C Church has been on our knees through the darkness.
Yes.
And now we are seeing the fruits mm-hmm. of our prayers. This yeah. is a wonderful time to be living.
It is.
We need to stay awake.
Yeah.
We need to
and continue
not
moving
be weary
forward.
And well doing.
Yeah.
And stay awake. I'm always I want to bring joy into everything, but I also want to bring the warning.
No.
Yeah.
You know, don't fall back to sleep, because that, you know, when I was fighting the whole thing up in Missouri with the pro-life stuff.
Yeah.
No, it was actually down here for Amendment 4.
Mm-hmm.
They said that there was a large, I won't name their name on here, but they were hoping for a sleepy and lethargic church. They're planning on mm-hmm. a sleepy and lethargic church
mm-hmm.
in order to get Amendment 4 passed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not what happened. And so that gives me hope as well, not just from President Trump, but because of the fact that, you know, that was even before he was elected. No, yes, it was at the time he was elected.
Yeah,
he so was that in was, office already. But we had to fight it before
mm-hmm.
before he got elected.
Got in office.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were fighting. The church was fighting hard against mm-hmm. that. So that gives me hope, especially here in Florida. Guys, we don't realize how fortunate
yeah.
we are right now with Florida, with the administration
as well.
Yeah, but the administration that we have
mm-hmm.
up there,
mm-hmm.
cautiously,
yeah,
carefully and cautiously, remaining cautious that we continue
mm-hmm.
to go to the ballot box, that we continue
yep.
to vote
mm-hmm.
for the righteousness of what we,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is in on the ballot.
Why don't we say a prayer for the church right now? I feel
we
led.
Have about a minute.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
You want to do that really quickly, or you want me to? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your church. We thank you for believers around the world, believers here in Florida, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to strengthen us so that we walk this walk, that we do not
yes.
disengage, that we continue to be more bold than mm. ever.
Mm.
Arm us with your armor, the armor of God in Ephesians 6, Lord Jesus, so that we may stand boldly for your truth, that we may affect this nation,
mm-hmm.
that, Lord God, that this nation will continue to shine its light brighter than ever through all of us.
Mm.
May we accomplish the will that you've created us in each in our lives. We each have a will and a purpose, and may we accomplish it, Lord Jesus. We ask Holy Spirit to move mightily in every listener who's listening, Lord. We thank you for WCNO. We thank you for President Trump. We thank you for what you're doing in this nation. And Lord God, we glorify you in Jesus' name.
This
Amen.
Is WCNO Palm City.
Oh,
the
perfect.
Good news.
Sorry, I could go forward.
That's okay.
Sorry, I kicked you out of the table. I was trying. I shut this down. I went, oh, she's not listening.
As Christians, sometimes we're quick to pass over the most significant hours in the Easter story. Yes, we're well acquainted with the crucifixion that took Jesus' life on Friday, and we celebrate the empty tomb on Sunday morning.